Today on We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about the last 5 years. If I have to spend the next 10 minutes talking about the last 5 years, well then I'd rather spend a summer in Ohio, but you know what? Nobody needs to know. Maybe I'm moving too fast, so I guess I'll give you unlimited time, and I'll also give you our theme song. Well, hey everybody, welcome to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And guys, this is the podcast that brings you facts any nine-year-old could look up on IMDb.
Wow, bringing that back.
Well, you know, I felt like it. I was in the mood for that one.
I barely remember that one. It's just so long.
The title is long, or it's been long since we've used
no,
it?
No, been long time.
It been long time.
It been long time since death. Should I introduce my guest now?
Sure, yeah, why not? Let's get into it.
All right, guys, let's get into it. I'd like to introduce our special guest today. This is my brother. His name is Daniel.
I'm happy to be back.
Wow.
Yay.
We had him once before on...
The Phantom of the Opera.
Of the Opera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bonus episode. Shorty... bonus ep. So that may have been skipped for some people, but he's back.
They're like, nah, bonus episode. I barely want to listen to the normal episodes.
Yikes.
But bonus.
Yikes. It's sad.
Hey, Daniel.
Hello.
All right, good. So we're talking about the last 5 years, aka sometimes people get divorced. Thanks, my son's dad, 1315, for that alternate title. My son's dad. So, husband. Well, I guess
what?
It doesn't have to be. My son's dad.
No, but he is his own son's dad. It's him.
Huh?
What are you saying? He is his own son's dad.
What? But unless it's a girl. My son's dad.
Yeah, but why would a girl be running an account for her son's dad? That doesn't make sense. Unless she's trying to get his attention, in which case she should just use his name.
But it's, okay, well, I think let's not talk about this anymore. What do you say?
I say I'd like to talk about it.
Daniel, should we move on?
I think it's time to move on.
All right.
I'm still
I don't think we're
going
to get anywhere on that one.
Guys, we haven't done an episode in a while. We took a little break, and... We were supposed to talk about Godspell, and then we were supposed to talk about My Fair Lady, and I watched Godspell, and I said, I never want to talk about musicals again. I don't know if you've seen Godspell.
That's what happened. No, still haven't.
No, that's not real. I mean, we've just been busy, but man, Godspell will just make you want to not be alive anymore. Maybe we'll talk about it one day, but nope, we won't.
Oh.
So, but I have a question for you guys, because we weren't sure, like, when we were going to do another episode, when we were going to do a new episode, and you were like, we got to do the last 5 years, and I want to ask you, why? Like, why pick this movie to be like, let's stop taking a break, and we got to talk about this one?
Great question.
Thank you.
Would you like to answer, Daniel?
I mean, it's not really my show, so I don't know if I could comment on why you would stop your break to do this one, but...
No. He's saying, why is this important?
I can talk about why I love this movie.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll be here for a long time.
It is definitely one of my favorites now. The first time I watched it was just several months back, so that I haven't known it very long, but first time I watched it all the way through, I loved it.
Yeah, you should explain that too.
Yeah, the first time I watched it, saw it on Netflix, saw that it was on Netflix, knew nothing about it, got two songs in, just kind of got a little bored of it, and I turned it off. And it was like months later, I finally came back to it, started from the beginning again, watched it, got, I think it's the third song, right?
Yeah.
Got the third song. Once I got to that point, there's a point in that song where she gets upset at him. It's the See I'm Smiling, I think that's what it's called. And she gets upset with him and goes off, and it's... feels real and emotional, and from that point I was hooked, I was drawn in, and I watched the rest of it and loved it. As soon as it ended, I started it over again and watched the first song again to see her reaction, because it starts with her responding to him leaving her. So then I started again to watch that to get that full response, I think, and
I love it.
Wasn't it, didn't you say, get past the...
Oh, man.
That was awesome.
What? What was that?
Was that a Snapchat? Daniel, I think sometimes people get divorced. My son's dad told me that, and I think your wife...
So...
It sounded like people riding a roller coaster.
I think this movie is people riding a roller coaster. An emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. I see where you're going with that. I think you said get past the 12-minute mark. Was it 12 or 14?
Oh, yeah. I looked it up. I looked up the time that it got to the point where she's singing and she gets mad at her husband or whatever then. And I said, watch this movie. Get to that point. If you make it to that point, you're in.
You gave me the exact time. Do you remember the time?
Oh, I don't remember the time anymore.
It was very specific. And I was like, okay, I need to make it past this time and then I will be good to go.
And that would be my advice to anyone watching it. But that's the point that draws you and sucks you in, I think.
How would you explain this movie to someone then? Because you've kind of said sort of that it starts off with this girl realizing that she's getting a divorce, basically. But what is the plot of this movie? Because it's kind of the same plot, but bits of it happening at different times chronologically. So
I think another reason why I like it so much is one of my favorite movies is 500 Days of Summer. I think when I talked to Elise about it, I told her it was like a musical 500 Days of Summer.
I thought the same thing. No.
Well, you don't like 500 Days of Summer?
No.
Oh, I love it. It's such a good movie.
Oh, I do too.
I've only seen it once, and I've told him that I will watch it again to reassess it because it's been a really long time, but I did not like it when I watched it.
I think I had the similar reaction. I was like, this is very 500 Days of Summer. But there was something about it because I see the connection, but also I feel like the relationships are very different. It's a similar format, but I felt like the relationships of the two couples are very different. Can you kind of explain what this couple goes through?
Basically, the ups and downs of their relationship from when they meet to when they eventually divorce. And they definitely do have ups and downs of him becoming a famous author, getting published, and going from being a nobody to being kind of a superstar. I mean, in the literary field. And then at the same time, her attempting to reach her goals of being a Broadway star, being a big shot herself and coming up short and not reaching them. We start her end and his beginning and you reverse, and you've also got him succeeding at the one time of her essentially failing, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Do you guys know anything about the stage version of this? Because I read a little bit about it. You know, this is a movie adaptation of a staged musical. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I guess we didn't see anything, but we looked up the music from different, productions. Mm-hmm. And we kind of both came to, I think we both came to the conclusion.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
That it was bad. Well, I think our biggest problem was that all the women who played the character of Anna Kendrick,
they sounded too good and
very formal.
I think the reason why the story in the movie is so good is because it's like real people and it seems like a real relationship and kind of relatable. They seem like normal people. Mm-hmm. But then when you've got the elaborate opera sort of singing and stuff that's like over the top, you lose that aspect of it.
I did read that the stage version, the two characters never meet except for in the middle. I found that very fascinating. And I was like, I wonder how that would have worked in the movie version. I guess it wouldn't have, and that's why they didn't do it. But
yeah,
I was like, that'd be an interesting thing to see live, to have them like talking to each other, but the other person's not there.
And they almost do that in the movie because when the one's singing, the other one's making maybe saying a word or two at most, usually, and not really commenting or respond. I mean, kind of responding, but not actually saying much.
But I wondered, like, if the person on stage would have to then pretend the audience is the other character, you know?
Yeah.
And that sort of interaction, I thought that would be very interesting because then you're in the shoes of the other person in the relationship, and I wonder if that would make it you connect in a different way. I don't know.
I just feel like that would be kind of boring.
Maybe. Like a bunch of monologues, which can be interesting.
Yeah. I would probably feel like it's an art installment or something.
It would feel a little bit more artsy than the movie did, probably. Mm. But knowing that, I noticed somebody on Twitter, we were talking about it earlier, Our buddy Kevin, who's been on the podcast before.
Good old Kevin. Shout out to Kevin.
Yeah, he was saying that it's a musical with two characters and they never even sing a good duet. And I was like, well, but that's kind of the point of the movie, mm-hmm. is like they're very separate. Like even though they're together, they're separate. And I kind of liked that they didn't sing duets the whole time constantly.
Well, and they meet in the middle when their timelines cross, and then they sing the I do parts together, which is really beautiful. So, I mean, they nail that duet. And then
the very last song
at the end, they sing a duet.
Singing different songs together.
Right. Yeah. But it also words. Has some tight harms, which are always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure with the tight harms.
You would think that would be my complaint because I always... and wanting that good duet with the tight harms, but I 100% think what they did here works perfectly.
And why does it work perfectly?
It's a really interesting approach to be going back and forth and getting their perspectives individually. And since we're getting their perspectives, you know, one at a time, it wouldn't make any sense if they were singing the same thing together. That just doesn't compute. Mm. So like the reason why they need to do it that way made a lot of sense, and I appreciate that and respect it.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah.
I gotta say this. You guys seem to really enjoy the movie. I thought it was fine. I wasn't blown away, but I liked it. So I wanna say this before we go any further. Convince me. Convince me why it's so good. Having said that, why are you rubbing your hands together?
Because we're ready to convince you.
That's your convincing motion?
I mean, you're just kind of saying, like, it's fine, but, like, can you tell me, like, you always ask what's my experience, because it's, like, first time you've ever seen this, et cetera. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, like, your experience with this being your first time seeing it, what dad is?
What did you know coming in about it?
I knew nothing.
Also, good question. Okay. Oh.
A good question asked and answered.
Short answer.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it. I didn't know the different timelines.
Well, you knew what I said, which, didn't I tell you some stuff?
I don't listen to you.
Bye.
You probably did say something, I just don't remember. Kind of like what you said, Daniel, with the, I was pretty bored at the beginning, and I did a lot of eye rolling.
At which parts?
The second song, where they're like in bed together, and he's singing about Jewish girls, I guess. I don't know. I was just like, this is super cheesy. Just wasn't connecting with it. It actually took me longer than what you even said to connect with the movie.
Okay.
To be fair, though, I was super tired. And this movie, it's not super exciting. Like, it's got some good parts and really entertaining bits, but it's a little bit slower. I thought maybe that it was a fun ride, but, like, ultimately underwhelming. But that's what I'm saying. Convince me otherwise.
I mean, we're fully equipped to do this.
Well, I assumed that.
So I interrupted you, but you wanted to get into the favorite songs?
Yeah, let's get into favorite songs, because I'm curious what your favorite songs are.
Would you like to go first?
Nope.
Would you like to go first, Daniel?
Nope.
Are y'all serious?
Elise, ladies first.
Well, this is a very difficult choice for me, because these songs are like, they're either like pretty sad, or they're like super upbeat. There's kind of barely an in-between, really. There's a couple really upbeat songs I really like just because they're fun. If I have to pick one that's very powerful to me, it would have to be See I'm Smiling, because of that moment where everything just kind of drops out and it's just her kind of having a meltdown, having a breakdown. And the minute that she mentions that it's her birthday and he won't even stay with her.
That's the spot.
That's it. That's it for us. We're like, we're out.
Yeah.
So it's like chills.
Yeah.
Like down your spine. Like even for me, I think like goosebumps sort of
every
thing.
Every time I listen to it, I get the goosebumps.
I just mouthed whoa. I don't know why.
I saw that. Yeah.
Why didn't I just say whoa? Can we redo that? Whoa.
Add that in. Anyways, that when that moment hits, I'm just like, whoo. And it really gets me. And then it's such a contrast too, because the whole song is very like, I'm smiling and you're laughing and we're having fun.
She's trying and getting back together.
And I think we're going to be okay. And I think it's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, just like, psh. And at first you're thinking, is she just being dramatic? And then she drops the birthday line and you're like, this girl's being for real right now, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my favorite song for that reason. I mean, there's a million other reasons I could pick a million other songs because they're all good. I think.
I think I'm right there with you. I think I'd have to say the See I'm Smiling because that is the point that sucked me in the most. And it's
I suck on that.
There it is. Bringing back an oldie.
So emotional and like real. And it is such a drastic change of her being happy and optimistic. And then he just shuts her down again. And then she just goes off. It's probably my favorite, but like you said, I like the upbeat songs too. The the Moving Too Fast.
Yeah.
Especially the beginning of that song it's fun and it's really exciting and it's cool.
I did like that song, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like the Shmuel song too. It's like super random, but I really like that one. I like it better watching it than listening to it because I love her little quips and responses to what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not on the soundtrack, which I also don't like, is that on the soundtrack, there's no speaking at all or none of their responses like in the movie.
But that made it more fun when I went back and watched a second time because I had forgotten about that because I just been listening.
Yeah, so you definitely, it's two different experiences, listening to it on the soundtrack, which I've done a lot, and then watching it because you get that.
And James, what is your favorite song?
I really like the Shmuel song too, but I didn't want
to. I thought that would be your favorite one.
Yeah, I mean, I think
because of obvious reasons.
Yeah, it's just a fun song. I mean, any song with a good na-na just makes me happy, you know?
I do.
But also, I felt like Jeremy Jordan, his acting in this musical is fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
It's supernatural and like
supernatural,
charming, I guess. You know, he's charming, right? I don't know. I say he is. Why not?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. I'll say it with you.
That scene to me was just like, I like that dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I felt like in the first song you see him in, how do you say that? Shiksa?
Hey, Shiksa goddess.
Yeah, I felt like he sang really well in that song, but like I didn't like him in that song. I was just like,
because you thought it was cheesy.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you're trying way too hard with this girl.
And he sang that one live, right?
I think several of them sang live, and they filmed it in one take. So
yeah,
like super impressive and super cool.
Yeah, and I mean, he did a great job. But anyway, so I guess that the Shmuel song may be my favorite, but I also really like the song right after that Kathy sings, where they're like on a Skype date, and she's talking about how she's
Summer
like...
Summer in Ohio.
Yeah, that song.
That one's fun.
I can't remember really exactly how it goes, but that those two songs were the point in the musical where I was like, okay, this is fun.
Okay.
It took me a long time. Yeah. I know.
Oh,
because I just didn't care about the characters. But at that point, I was like, well, but if it's going to keep having stuff like this, which I think it does from that point on, because it's so sad, like the way it starts out, then like the See I'm Smiling song is very serious as well. And I just felt like it needed humor and not just like I wish you were or I'm happy you're not Jewish or whatever. That what is that, what was that song about? I didn't even know.
I had a lot to say about that one. That would be my least favorite song.
Okay,
I think
cool,
the song's okay, but watching it too, the whole scene is just weird. Like
it's them a weird scene
getting it on and all is just kind of just awkward, and they're still singing in the middle of it, which just seems weird.
I thought the same thing. Like when it was happening, I was like, I've never seen a musical have a lovemaking scene, and there's probably a reason. This is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's weird in and of itself. But then the whole song was kind of confusing, I thought, too. First of all, nobody knows what a Shiksa
goddess
is. Yeah, we had
to Google
that. Look that up, yeah. So that helps once you figure out that that's like a non-Jewish
person.
Woman is all it really is.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Basically, he's singing that the only reason why he likes her is because she's not Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which just was really weird to me. And then it starts off with saying that he's like breaking his mother's heart that she's not Jewish. And then he starts going off into like, if you had a tattoo, that'd be fine.
Matter.
If you...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, song. All that stuff. And it's just...
That would be cool.
Eye roll.
And then I got confused as to, was he saying that his mom would be okay with all those things as long as she was Jewish? Or he's okay with all that stuff as long as she's not Jewish?
Yeah, I think I think the second thing, but also who freaking cares?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one. But it does show too, kind of that his like first song of meeting her and getting to like her or whatever is just all about what she's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it kind of starts you off from the beginning, if you're paying attention or looking into it, that he's maybe not as into it or not as decent of a person as she will be. Because her first song, you know, comes at the end after they meet. It's the end song. And it's just all this stuff about how great he is and how excited she is and mm-hmm. how she can't wait to see him again sort of stuff. The more what you'd be expecting.
Right.
And his is just, oh, I'm glad she's not Jewish.
Also, visually, that song is different than the rest of the musical because it, like, cuts to him in, like, dark rooms with these other Jewish girls. And, like, mm-hmm. it just
but
takes
that
you
felt
out.
Like a play.
It felt like a play, yeah. It kind of reminded me of how they did the movie Chicago, how it'll just cut the lights and it just feels like... But, like, none of the rest of this movie was like that.
There's that one scene, I guess it's not necessarily like this, but it pulled, like, a musical move where he's walking into the street and then a bunch of, like, business people start, like, marching behind him and then, like, circling around
him. That's also 500 Days of Summer-esque.
Yeah. Oh.
Just like it. It doesn't make sense. It's out of place.
Is that the Moving Too Fast song?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
It's
yeah,
because like
he's headed towards the office to meet with the agent.
And he's kind of in a dream world. Yeah. I think it kind of works there, but it didn't work with the Shiksa goddess. So, yeah, that's your least favorite song. Elise, what's your least favorite song?
My least favorite song is I Can Do Better Than That.
That would be my second choice.
How does that one go?
She's talking about her friend who got pregnant in high school, and then the chorus is just like, I can do better than that.
Yeah, they're in the car and headed to his parents or something, right? Mm-hmm.
Her parents.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my bad.
Get it right.
You asked. So we're just helping you out. That song is actually very confusing to me. At first, I mean, she's like being very like self-righteous, basically, by like making fun of like what happened to somebody else. And then it kind of turns into her having an experience with a guy who she thought was maybe like she was going to end up with. And then once he like left her with a note, she was like, oh, I can do better than this, which is that's not a negative thing, like to think that you can like move on that and like have a better experience in the future. It kind of confused me about her character, I guess.
I mean, it's just like kind of her preferences, really. Her preferences, she doesn't want to have just like a normal kind of life. She wants to do these bigger, better things. So in her mind, that like having a career is a better than being a stay-at-home mom.
But she's like ambitious in love more than anything.
But the whole point of the song ends with her being like, here's all these reasons why we're cool and why we can do better together, so move in with me. Because on the Moving Too Fast song, mm-hmm. he's apparently has saying no or hesitant to moving in with her until he gets a big break and then he's in. And so I think that song probably takes place right before.
Right.
And so she's trying to give him reasons or trying to tell him why they need to move in together, move forward.
It's got a weird sound to it. It almost feels like it doesn't quite fit with the other songs. And it's fine. Like, it's
I think
fine.
At the point
it's
in the
fine.
Movie, it's too, fine. It kind of takes you're taken away from the story a little bit. Because, like, you're kind of moving, at that point, you're kind of moving in a direction of telling the story. And then that's kind
moving
of like
too
a,
fast.
You're taking a step outside, basically, because it's not really moving the story along. It's just kind of a anecdote.
Yeah, and we never see him meet her parents, really.
Nope.
They just pull up and then they still talk to each other and don't go greet the parents who are standing on the porch. And it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Don't they like make out too, like while the parents are there?
Yeah,
like,
well,
that's kind of weird.
I don't know.
Too.
He like kissed her on the cheek or something. I'm like,
I don't know, maybe.
Your parents are waiting. They're right there.
Speaking of parents, I felt like another reason I don't like the Shiksa goddess song is because he makes a big deal about her not being Jewish, as if his parents would be really upset. And then that goes nowhere. And it's like, that could have been a nice little thing of conflict. If it doesn't matter with the rest of the plot, like, why is it even, oh, whatever.
Well, from what I've seen, I think the guy who wrote it, his story is based on like his life and his relationship with his ex.
Yeah, a little, from what I could tell, it was a little too close to his real life. And she like tried to sue him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He changed the name of that. I think it was that song. Like, he had to change the names of one of the songs. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Shiksa Goddess one.
So,
Your least favorite.
My least favorite song? I don't know. I thought I knew my least favorite song, but it ended up being y'all's most favorite song. And the more you talked about it, I was like, yeah, that song was fine. The part you guys were talking about is good. But up until that point in that song, I was bored. Like, super bored. So, didn't care about these people. And it sounded so cheesy. We're by the river in Ohio or whatever. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know.
So here's the thing. It's very simplistic sounding at first. And that kind of bothered me. But I think that that's like the whole point is like...
Well, yeah, they're awkward together.
Well, they've been through so much. She really is like running out of things to say because... Right. There's a lot of like tension between them and there's been a lot going on. And she's like, I feel like things like, I stole this sweater from a costume shop. It makes me look like Daisy May. Like, mm-hmm. She's just trying to think of things to say, like make him laugh. And like, I don't know. She's like nervous it's not going to work. And then when he laughs, she's like, oh, you're laughing. And it's just like a very like, when you first watch it, you probably don't see it that way. I don't think I did. But then looking back on it at the end, you're like, oh, like there was tension and there was drama and there was awkwardness there. And then that's when the breakdown happens. Like she's trying so hard to like make it work. And then it's like, okay, last straw. Like, I can't believe this is happening again. And then boom, she hits him with all that good stuff.
Yeah. I think like you just said, the first time you watch it, you might not get it. And so I'm wondering the whole out of order chronologically thing. Do you think that was effective, or do you think this would have been a better movie if they would have done it in a normal timeline? Because I don't know. I think either way for me would probably be fine, but I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, I think it's kind of tough because you just think you would want to see everything in chronological order and you'd get a fuller picture. But when they did it such a different way, then you think more about it and it almost makes it more deeper or whatever, because you can constantly be thinking about how that scene later on pertains here. And there's so much you can think about. So you do think more about it. And it's a unique idea. So it's a little more interesting as well. I think maybe if it was just in chronological order, it might have just been a little boring maybe, because it's just kind of, like you said, it's just kind of a normal story. It's not anything super exciting or exaggerated at all.
I thought the songs were really good. I thought some of the, like, the storytelling device that with the timeline was really creative. I thought some of the songs were done like really unique ways that I hadn't seen songs sung before, like the climbing uphill, and even the one a miracle would happen. Is that where he's like talking about how every girl wants to sleep with him once he's married? Yep. And I found like that was a really interesting song. The way he sang it, it was very casual, very much like just dialogue, you know, and I don't know. I felt like that was really unique with this movie. I just felt like it was all this cool stuff was wasted on a subject that I was like, who cares about these two people? They're both, I didn't like either of them. Like the guy cheats on the girl and the girl gets upset because the guy's popular.
We have a lot to say about this, but I'll say first that I liked what they did with the timeline, because for me personally, it challenged me to really think through and figure out who, I don't want to say whose side I was on, but like to think through where I stood about the two characters and like where the fault, that's the same thing.
No, like who was in the wrong? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when it starts with her and she's singing about how he's gone. He probably doesn't care. He's on his own. So you're immediately like, okay, he's at fault. And then you see the next scene and you're like, wait, this looks like everything's fine. Everything's happy. Like, so maybe it's her fault. And just the going back and forth, it challenges the way you analyze it.
And you're not seeing the other person's response at that scene. So you are seeing, it's like you are seeing each person's side one at a time, which is
kind of
cool.
Yeah, it's like they're kind of telling you their side of the story one at a time, back and forth in different timelines. But it's challenging in that way. And I think it makes you think more than it would if it were just giving it to you straight up.
Yeah, I get that. I think I agree. I think I liked what they did. When I said I don't like either character, why did that both make you look at me like you both got a weird grin on your face like, oh boy, like I just opened up some weird
we're rubbing our hands together.
I don't like that.
It's fun for us. So
I think watching the movie, you have to pick a side, or you have to pick somebody who is more at fault than the other. And so I think when I've talked to people, or the only people I've talked to that have watched it, that's been one of the main things we talk about is essentially whose side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very surprised that I was the only one, for the most part, that was on Kathy's side.
I think I'm more of the guy, because I felt like he was trying really hard to connect with her, and she just wasn't having it. And, like, I don't think what he did because of that was smart, but, sure. like, I feel like she was just kind of a jerk to him, like a spoiled little brat and just, like, not proud of her husband. Well, you say something.
I definitely would disagree. I think...
Well, let's give examples.
There's a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that are, at first look or in first light, you look like really positive things that he does, but mm-hmm. it's actually more... I think the word you used earlier was manipulative or self-promoting. I don't know. One of his best moments, I would think, is the whole song about believing in her. And he makes a big point of that he believes in her so much. That's why they're here. It's like he's being sweet, whatever. But then the whole, what he's saying is, if I didn't believe in you, I wouldn't love you. If I didn't believe in you, I wouldn't be with you. If I didn't believe in you, we wouldn't make it this far. We wouldn't be together. And so the second that he stops believing in her, he leaves and he's gone. And it's different than being in love with her or caring about her. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, he believes in her doing great things. And so then when she doesn't accomplish great things, he's not interested or caring. And he's not interested enough to support her at all, like by going to her show. Like you see, like she mentions that she's so excited that he's finally going to see a show in Ohio, because it wasn't a big Broadway show. It wasn't a big goal that she met. So he didn't necessarily care and he didn't believe in that. He believed that she could do better things, but when she would fail, he didn't care to support her, be with her.
And that whole song, If I Didn't Believe in You, is literally just manipulative to get her to go to the party. Like, the whole song, the whole basis of, like, how the argument started. And you know that because at the end, it starts out very sweet. And you're like, oh, he believes in her, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. cute. Mm-hmm. And then he gets really angry and he starts, like, scream sing. And, like, that, like, always gives me chills, too, because it's, intense. Like, scary. Mm-hmm. And then he jumps right back into that, like, sweet. Like, he's literally, he screams and then he goes, if I... didn't believe in you. And it's like so like sweet again. And that's like 100% manipulative. Like to be.
Well, then I was manipulated because I was like, he really believes in her.
Well, and the first time I watched it, like it was like, okay, he's mad and I understand why. And that's, but he still loves her and he still cares about her and he's just frustrated. But like looking back, I was like, oh, that's like a form of abuse. Like, using those sort of manipulative tones to get someone to do what you want him to do. And his approach, because at the end, he literally is just like, so will you please go put on a dress and come with me to a show?
And then she's, he gets like, super mad when she walks away.
Yeah, she's like, nah, fam. And she turns around and leaves. And then he's like, ah.
Yeah, and then the whole point of that is that he misses her point entirely. It's not that she's being a brat and doesn't want to support him or be with him. It's that every time she goes to those functions with him, he leaves her behind. And that she even says in the song is, I'm stuck there holding my own drink. And
Your waitress for the
evening. I'm your waitress bringing you drinks and you leave me at the bar by myself. And that's pretty understandable.
And then people come up and ask her the same questions about him. And he's like, oh, how dare they ask you questions about me? I mean, he mocks her. Yeah. For just feeling like I'm doing the same thing every time. And it doesn't matter that I'm there because you don't care. You don't talk to me. Nothing happens. I'm just there to like be like a trophy wife, essentially.
And the reason why he wants her there, it seems like, is just because so people don't ask questions or just because
it looks better for him exactly. if his wife is there and being supportive, just like a politician,
right?
I would assume.
Straight up.
I think what we're saying is they shouldn't have been a couple. Is that what we can all agree
on? My son's dad told me that sometimes people get divorces.
It's very astute.
Can we play a game now?
Yes, let's play a game.
How'd that part go again?
Oh, is that? Okay.
I think that's what it was called.
Good. Excellent.
How'd that part go again? How'd that theme song go again?
How'd that part go?
How'd that part go again?
So this is a game where I'm going to give you a chunk of lyrics, and then you're going to finish it. So what's going to happen is I have three for each of you separately, so it's not like a race. I'm just going to give you three separate ones.
I'm going to do very bad. Sorry.
I know you are.
Okay.
But what I have done is I tried to give you easier ones, and I tried to give him a little bit harder ones.
Mm, sweet.
Who would like to go first?
James.
Me.
Thanks for volunteering him. Okay, so James, are you ready for your first how'd that part go again?
Yes.
Still, I'm certain I'd prefer to be going slowly batty.
Oh, I literally sang this.
I know. I heard you singing that in the stairs, and that's why I did not give you this question.
As soon as you said that, I realized not only will I do bad, but I know none of these words.
Okay, say that again. So this is from the song Summer in Ohio.
Okay.
Okay, so that gives you some context clues.
Sure. Right.
Still, I'm certain I'd prefer to be going slowly batty.
Oh, boy. This is the first time I've played this game, and I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah, we've only played this once. So.
Yeah. Still, I prefer to be...
remember what this song is about?
Is this the part where he talks about a midget? I'm just going to say...
He?
And then
did you say he?
She. I'm going to say the next line is a midget playing something in Porgy.
Porgy.
Oh, yeah.
I should ask you that. I actually thought about that, but I was like, that's too hard. And then that's the one you knew. So that's interesting. If he can finish this lyric, he gets half a point.
Ooh, I'm on it.
If he can finish this lyric for you. Daniel, still I'm certain I'd prefer to be going slowly batty.
40 miles east of Cincinnati.
So close.
Don't even remember, not even
yet
sad.
So far.
She says it so cool. It's like it stands out.
And that's the part where all the instruments go, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, when she says Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
It's like a robot, like powering down. It's great.
Sounds great.
Okay. All right, Daniel, are you ready for yours?
I guess.
Okay. I'm gliding smooth as a figure skater.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's a little challenging.
That's hard, huh?
That is tough.
Do you know what song this is from?
I don't.
Are you serious?
I don't. It doesn't sound familiar to me.
I can definitely tell you because
yes.
I mean, is it the...
I told him. It's Moving Too
Fast. That's what I was going to be my guess. Okay.
Siri has popped on the last three episodes we've recorded.
And it was always me, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Okay, at least it wasn't kids on a roller coaster. Am I right?
Too little. Oh, I missed the joke.
At least it wasn't kids on a roller coaster.
I missed the joke. What was it?
I just told you it. That was the punchline. That was the whole joke.
Oh, that's good. I'm gliding smooth as a figure skater.
I'm gliding smooth as a figure skater. I wish I knew now that later I would hate her.
I was going to make up a lyric very similar to that one.
He's very omniscient, I guess.
He would have been, I don't know. That one's tough.
What if I said, I'm gliding smooth as a figure skater.
High as a something something.
So close.
Do I get a half point if I guess it?
Yes, go for it.
I hope she's not a Jew and I'll date her.
Ding, ding, ding. No. The correct line is, I'm riding hot as a rocket blast.
Ooh, yeah.
Riding hot as a rocket blast.
I mean, as
I don't
they
even
say,
know if I knew that was the actual words. Like, I think I was singing it wrong.
You probably were saying, I'm
riding high as a rocket blasting or something, maybe.
What?
Hey, if you would have said that, she would have given it to you.
I know. I would have been like, that's close enough. All right. So 0-0. Cool.
I'd have a half.
Yeah, he's got a half.
Zero to half. Point. James, are you ready?
Nope. Bring it on. Different musical.
No one can thicken your skin. I will not fail so you can be comfortable, Kathy. I will not.
Lose so you can win.
Oh, man.
You are
because
like
you can't lose.
So close.
I will not lose just because you can't win.
Ding, ding, ding. You really did that. I didn't even tell him.
That was good.
That was good.
Thank you.
And also, that's where he gets real scary and gravelly, and it's intense.
And where if he wasn't manipulating her, he'd actually have a pretty good point.
Right. We can discuss that later. All right. So 1.5. Daniel, you ready?
I guess.
When I walk in the room, there's a... And I'll tell you what this is from.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Climbing Uphill. It's during that sequence.
Sorry. This is stuck in my head now.
That's a good song. Is that where she's... I walk in the room, there's... A table of men, always men, usually gay.
Ding, ding, ding. Look at that. Wow. You got every line perfect.
Nice.
Always men, usually gay. All right. Perfect. Good
like
job.
That.
So 1 to 1.5. It also shows that like she ain't getting anything for free. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Hashtag
nobody's
me too.
Nobody's going to grant her grace, as she says. Just because it's like she's pretty, like, no.
I mean, I think she says she's like up against a lot of people that look like her too. Though,
well, so. But I'm just saying they're gay. They're not even going to like, help her out. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. And when you say help her out, what do you mean, Elise?
All right, next one. Are you ready, James?
I'm ready.
Okay, it's your last one. So please.
Get it right?
Don't lose because then he can't win.
Oh, I see what you did there. I think you can do better than that.
I agree. Okay. And the dress he made on that endless night was a dress.
I see. This is from that Shmuel song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I know it's challenging, but just try your best.
Well, but listen, okay. I loved that song because of how it felt, the vibe. And I think when it ended, I said, I don't know what the point of that was. Like, I wasn't listening to the story at all.
Yeah, it gets a little distracting, especially with all his facial expressions and
her little quips.
And his lights. What was it again? The dress.
And the dress he made on that endless night was a dress.
Was a dress with a low cut back and sequence around the belly button. That's my guess.
How did you know? You know what's funny is that you didn't even try to rhyme it. I was giving you one that rhymed.
Oh, okay.
And the dress he made on that endless night was a dress?
That was unbelievably tight.
Oh, you tried so hard.
Wait.
Okay.
And then it goes, na, 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 na.
You'll get to be happy. Daniel, can you finish this?
Good luck getting out of your dress.
That's one where I don't know if I would have known the words exactly. It's something like that would make every girl take flight or
every soul take flight.
Soul take flight.
Okay. Should we give that to him?
I think so. Souls are the same as girls.
Girls have souls.
Souls are the same as the girlsies. The guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm. As right. Those chixes. What is it?
Shitsus.
That was
you
a
had
close
it the first
one.
Time. It really was, wasn't it? Okay, so 1 to 2.
1 to 2.
Mm. As the Jews say.
What? You are doing great today. We've talked about midgets, Jews, and Harvey Weinstein.
You talked about midgets. Yeah. I didn't talk about Harvey Weinstein.
I just pictured him while you were talking.
Okay, Daniel, you ready for your last one?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't get this, you still win, so there's no pressure.
I like that.
Okay. If you drove an RV, that wouldn't matter. If you, like...
Ooh, there's so many that...
I know.
Gotta get in.
But this one was one of my favorite ones. Does that help?
Is that if you like to drink blood? That'd be cool.
That would be cute.
That would be cool.
No, cute.
Cute.
Oh, cute.
Man.
That would be cute. He says it like that. I love it. It's so good.
I think that was another time I just rolled my eyes.
but that's the way he says that's pretty funny.
No, it's funny, but also I thought, huh?
Yeah, he's probably like undressing at that point too. So it's a
yeah. He's trying
so
to get her
away.
Out of her tight dress sequence around the belly button. Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah. Daniel, you won. 3-2-1.
Heck three, yeah. Two, one.
Blast off. High as a rocket
High as
blast.
A rocket blast.
As they say. Wow, good job, guys. You really tried your best.
Hey, I did better than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, I thought you would maybe get 0.
Me too.
Hashtag me too. So great job, Daniel. You win a chance to come back on the podcast one day.
Wow. All right.
You weren't going to let him winner. If he lost.
I mean, only if he won. So, okay. So I like some reoccurring lines and reoccurring themes that happen. Two things that you talk about, James, that you like is when they bring back similar like themes or lines. That with the music, you like it to be, not the lyrics, but the music itself to be unpredictable.
Yes.
And I felt like this had both of those things. Do you agree or no?
I did like the music in this, and I didn't think I would when it started. Actually, the first song I thought was a good song, Still Hurting. I thought it was a little slow and a weird way to start the musical, but mm-hmm. I thought it was a good song. But there were a lot of good songs in this. Did that answer your question?
No, I just like, those were two things that I noticed that I was like, oh, you'll definitely like that about this musical. Like it has those elements that you bring up a lot when we talk about musicals. Like they use the same tune for certain things. Like she says, I'm still hurting. And then he goes, I keep rolling on. Oh, and he says, I keep rolling on. And when she talks to him in See I'm Smiling, she's talking about we're going to keep rolling on. So even then, it's kind of like little hints of like selfishness, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a cool thing, too. There's a lot of hints of
and he says,
him like that.
In the Shiksa Goddess song, he talks about you're the story that I should write. Like he views her as a story, like from the beginning.
Which is ironic because then the writer of this musical made a musical about his life.
Yeah,
like, exactly. What? He just made a story out of it.
Yeah. And then at the end, he sings, I wrote a story and we changed the ending. There's a lot of like bringing things back and talking about how this is a story and he's the writer of it. And I think it's kind of taking ownership because he says in that song too that he's made conscious, deliberate mistakes.
He also says at the end of that song is that I couldn't save, or I couldn't rescue you.
Yeah.
I couldn't rescue you. I could love you hard.
And let you go.
Yeah.
I don't think I understand that completely.
The only thing I can think of is that his whole idea is focused on career and so that the fact that she couldn't be successful, he thinks that's what she's missing in her life and that's what's breaking up their marriage or whatever. But I don't think that's the issue. I think it's his obsession with his career and then... Sure, she's not succeeding, but that doesn't mean she's falling away from him because of that.
Do you think he looks at her as like a project and just like trying to get her where he thinks she should be?
Well, I think just the whole thing of the only reason he likes her, is with her, is he believes in her. And then when he can't get her to that point or can't help her, she doesn't get there, then he's kind of done or he's not as interested or into it anymore. The first time you watch it, you're trying to get the whole picture.
Right.
Second time you watch it, you know the whole story, and so then you're looking at the particulars.
Catching other things.
Yeah. So I think for me, every time I watch it, it gets better because there's more you pick up on, there's more you're seeing.
Oh yeah, and because I was listening to the soundtrack a lot before I watched it the second time, and one line that I noticed was the line about. Some people never find success with their art. Some people never feel love in their heart. Some people can't tell the two things apart. And that's really interesting because that's him. Because he doesn't know the difference between success and love. He thinks success is like...
And that's the I believe in you. I believe in your success.
Success
and that's
oriented.
What draws me to you.
Right. And if there's no success, there's no love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That sounded like very Elvis just then. I was just thinking that too. Still.
I really liked in that proposal scene when she finally responds and at first she's saying, I'm not on time. It's kind of weird. But then when she gets to the point where she says, I want to be your wife. I want to, that part's really big too. Like when she sings and she.
I want to bear your child.
Yeah. That's good. That's emotional. That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, she's like thinking it through.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that that's what she wants, and she's a little scared, but she's makes the decision in that moment to commit.
And she's all in, yeah, and she's belted out.
Right.
Child. Like that.
I want to bear your child. I kind of laughed a little bit at that part, but
it's a weird thing to say.
The point. But it's like,
I mean, it's when I have moment, a family with you, it's just a different way of saying it.
But when I thought it through,
that's
I was like,
the next step. I want to be your wife. I want to have a child.
Well, because that's.
But I think maybe bear your child. The way you say it is just like. Like, right. What year is this?
Like, we just went back to
it's valid.
A different sense.
I'll give you that one.
I do think you should rewatch it.
I think I should, too. And it sounds like I would catch more things, but I feel like I'm not gonna. So
we haven't convinced you yet?
No, you've convinced me it's better than I thought it was, but I just don't know if it's still something that I would... Like, personally, I don't know if it's just some... Like, if it's a Saturday, and I'm like, you know what I need to do? I need to rewatch the last 5 years. But I think I might show it to friends. That's the only way I would ever watch this again.
Oh, yeah.
Is if I was showing it.
Yeah, you got to be in the mood to see it. It's a mood-type movie. It's not just a
Oh, it's a mood-type movie for sure.
Big mood. Oh, the line... maybe one of you can explain this to me. The line about...
I will.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay.
Please explain the line to me about how he says he wants one private room at the back of his heart.
Oh, yeah.
And she sends out battalions and it blows it up or something.
Anytime he has one, she sends battalions and takes it over, closes it down, whatever.
All right, James, drop some wisdom on us.
He keeps one room at the back of his heart and she sends a battalions?
Whenever, how's it go? Whenever I have one private room.
He says that's what he wants, is one private room in the back of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever she sniffs it out that he has one, she sends battalions to take it over.
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, God.
I mean, he wants something to himself. And every time he thinks he just has one little bit to himself, she's like, hey, can I tag along?
But he asks her to tag along.
Is that what he's talking about? That one specific thing, the parties and all that stuff?
No, this is when he's having his affairs and he's about to go see her in Ohio and he doesn't want to go.
So that's his private room.
That's what it sounds like.
The nobody needs to know room.
Yeah, that's what he's thinking, and that's they're pretty shot at that point anyway.
What do you want to rate this?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to start rate? We have a theme song for rating. Play a theme song.
Rate for it.
Rate for it.
Rate for it.
Rate for it. Rate for it.
I think we should probably end on a high note. So maybe you should start and then I'll go next and then he'll end.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to rate this a 6.5. That's what I'm going to give it. A 6.5. I feel like I don't care about any of it, and it's so good musically and the devices they use to tell the story, but I just don't like the story. And so I feel mad at this musical because I feel like they wasted it. I think you guys have made it more interesting. The slowest high five ever. But yeah, I don't know. I just not super exciting for me. And I like the music, but it's not music that I would listen to just casually. It made me think of Billy Joel. I like Billy Joel too, but I don't have any of his albums. So there you go.
Wow.
6.5.
There it is. 6.5. So I'm next. So a couple of things I want to say are that I appreciate a lot of the camera movements, just the way things were filmed. There were a lot of times when they really made it feel like it was on stage. I am not known for being a fan of 500 Days of Summer, and I also was not a huge fan of La La Land, but yet this reminded me of both of those things. I got really invested in the characters, contrary to what you're saying. I was very interested in them and learning more about them. And like, who's... Stop shaking your head while I'm giving my opinion.
Wanted to see what would happen if I did at that time.
We're about to have a fight. That's what's going to happen.
It's fine.
Sorry, can I say this? No, he doesn't get that reference because he hasn't seen it enough. The first time I watched it, I got to the end and I cried so hard.
Why?
Forever. Because we had a discussion where I felt very dumb because I didn't... I thought there was still maybe a chance that they would like end up together. And then when it got to the end and I was like, oh, I see like what has happened. They're 100% not getting back together ever. Then that made me really emotional. I had a really hard time with that.
It's hard to accept that the first scene of the movie is like the literal end.
Yeah.
So you feel like maybe something would happen after that, especially when you jump to a happy song right after, maybe?
Yes. It kind of set me up for maybe like there was hope there. Maybe they could resolve things. And I mean, it ends on a super depressing note. So anyways, I felt like a movie that kind of takes you on some weird turns and does some weird things, for it to turn out that way and really make an impact and make me like really feel all the emotions, I felt like it succeeded in that way for me. I just speak for myself. So you can stop shaking your head. But yeah, so I rate this 8.6. But yeah, I just feel like the characters are interesting. Music is great. Quit shaking your head. Yeah, I mean, I just really liked it. And I think if you really will be willing to dig deep, you can kind of gather more and more from it each time. And it's really clever, well-written, and it comes across as simple, but there's a lot in between the lines. So I think it's fascinating.
I mean, as you know, I loved it. I think I would have to give it, I'd give it a 9. I think the only things that took away from it was that it did take a little bit to get fully into it or become able to fully watch it all. But once I did, 100% in, 100% loved it. And then the Shiksa goddess song, just not real excited about that whole scene. That one threw me a little bit too, like we've said. So I think that'd be the only negatives. Everything else is super positive. Talked about why we love it. So there's a lot there. I think also I like it because it's one of my two favorites right now, which would be that and Hamilton. And surprisingly, there are kind of some similarities there. And it is about the relationship with Hamilton and his wife. And them is kind of similar because it is a guy with a career that's taking off. And he's having an affair, always writing.
Nobody needs to know.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool.
All right. So 8.6. Is that what you mm-hmm. said? And whatever
and 6. I said. 6.5. I think you said. He doesn't even know what he said.
Solid ratings all around, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
It was going to be a 6. You guys made it the 0.5. Thank you.
Well, we did something.
Did some work.
Hey, maybe we can talk about this again sometime, and it'll keep going up.
We'll shoot for a 7.5. We'll get there.
Well, will you watch it again, though? No, so.
I didn't say no.
You already said no.
I did pause for a very long time, though. Oh, yeah, I did already say
no. Can I ask this? Would you listen to the soundtrack instead of watching it?
I did listen to the soundtrack, and I did enjoy it more. Because, yeah, some of the songs, like I said, I like the songs. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the subject matter of the songs.
Well, that was kind of my problem with Great Comet, and I really pushed myself to get through that and get over that. You know, it happens, but it can be overcome.
Shmuel happens. You know what I'm saying?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I think we're done.
That's a good,
are we done?
Good time to close. Yeah, let's be done.
Well, I don't know when our next episode's going to be, but I think we're going to do a Tony's episode because the Tony's are coming up.
Tony.
Tony's are happening on June 10th, and I think we're going to live tweet it. I'm going to try to. And then we're going to do a Tony's episode and talk about the performances, the candidates, nominees. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and all that jazz.
Shout out to my bro for being here.
Yes, thank you.
It was fun. It's a great movie.
Yes.
You're glad that you could influence the listeners.
Absolutely. You revived the podcast with this several weeks off and now the last 5 years.
CPR. Thank you. Breathing life.
Well, I think that's going to do it for We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them. So we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them. Parentheses, the musicals. I'm James and...
I'm Elise.
And goodbye until tomorrow.
If you like to drink blood, I think it's cute.
I think it's cute. Musicals. Yeah.